Hey everyone, welcome back. Another episode, Roll 'em if you got 'em. Carl, as always, joined with Dakota.
Hello everybody.
This episode, we are taking a look into A Song of Ice and Fire's Free Folk. This will be part one of what we're calling our tactics talks here. We're currently just looking at Song and Warhammer. This will be a Song episode, obviously, Free Folk. And it's going to be all the tactics cards and then the commander attachments with those tactics cards and then any unit interactions and synergies. We are not taking into account attachments yet, like your 1, 2, and 3 point attachments, just because I kind of wanted to try to break this up to have more consumable bites. I think this will kind of be a longer episode. Part two will probably be pretty short, but as of right now, broken down into two parts, part A, part B. We're going to do the same thing with our Warhammer stuff, try to keep it consistent, but yes, that's where we're at. So without further ado, let's get into these Free Folk tactics cards. We're going to start with taking a look at the generic tactics cards, I guess, you know, your basic seven. And then towards the end, obviously, Free Folk get the extra of Mag the Mighty. So they basically get an entire other deck, but we'll get there at the end of the episode. Starting off, we have Regroup and Reform. Start of a friendly turn, target two infantry units in long range of each other. Remove up to four models from one of these units, restore that many wounds to the other. You may then move one attachment from one of these units to the other, or switch two friendly attachments in those units. We're not, like I said, not going to worry about any attachments, but we're going to look at, like, so obviously this is just a generally good card. You can pull models off of a unit that is not in trouble, put them on a unit that is in trouble. A couple of things where this is, I guess, better. Maybe I don't think better is the term because this is such a generally useful card, but just it has kind of some weirder synergies, some things that you would be like, okay, this is kind of an exceptional place to use it. First and foremost would be pulling wounds off of cave dweller savages. Because their attack profile gets better as they have destroyed ranks. They go 6, 7, 8 versus most units in the game. Their attack profile falls as they lose ranks. They're 6, 7, 8 on fours, and they get +1 to hit with each of those destroyed ranks. So you may have your savages in a place where your opponent is like, all right, I'm not going to mess with them right now because they're 6 dice hitting on fours. I'm going to leave them alone. Start of your turn, you pull 4 wounds off these guys, move them to another unit, and now those savages are 7 dice on threes. That starts to lean into that more of elite offense. Especially if you get them down last rank. I mean, you have 8 dice on twos with Sundering, of course. Like that's elite offense in A Song of Ice and Fire right there.
Yep.
So that's kind of the first little niche area to use it. The other few, not as crazy, but adding wounds. Obviously, adding wounds to a unit 99% of the time is always a good thing. It's better with the Horrific Visage that you will find on Followers of Bone in the Bone Lord's Chosen. Each time an enemy performs a melee attack on this unit before resolving that attack, target the attacker. They suffer 1 panic test with -1 to their roll for each remaining rank in this unit. So your opponent is doing the math in their head. They're like, all right, I'm going to attack these guys and I'm going to take up a panic test. Hey, these guys are down to just 4 wounds. Like, I'm going to take that panic test at a -1. My unit can handle a -1. It's like, well, no, you're going to take that panic test because you is start of a friendly turn for regroup. That's what I'm trying to say here. Start a friendly turn. So you do have to plan a turn ahead. You can't do this on your opponent's turn, but you can. Oh, they're going to take that panic test at -2 or -3 if I'm going to get ranks back. All right, hold on 1 second. I have to cough. Oh, normally I would just time it up with one of your talking points and mute my mic, but it wasn't there. Okay, here we go. And then finally, you would have the Then. They get their plus hits ability when they activate their Hold the Line. When this unit activates, target one enemy engaged with this unit, it suffers two hits plus one for each of this unit's remaining ranks. So once again, your opponent thinks that they're going to be doing... They're like, oh, when I do activate, I'm going to take three hits. And then before their turn, you throw another rank back on your Then, and now they're taking four. It gives them something to think about.
Yeah, the regroup reform, just pretty good card. I mean, it's a good card at short range, but, you know, it's just passing your wounds around where you need them, when you kind of need them.
It is long range, actually.
Oh, I misread that. That's my bad. Yes. But either way, you know, it's just kind of passing,
makes it better.
Like passing those wounds around. Because even two, you could, like, how you can work it game plan wise is if you had like a unit of raiders standing on a back objective, mm-hmm. and they're like passing their wounds forward because they're not probably threatened,
right?
And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to push these type like these wounds up. And really, like, it can kind of play with either even some other cards.
That we'll if you're peeling wounds off of a cheap unit of raiders and adding them to more expensive units like a Followers of Bones, you're getting model upgrades, mm-hmm. really. You know, you're sending reinforcements up there. And they may not even be on a back objective. They just might be in their own damn way. I've ran into that problem with Free Folk a lot, where it's just like, I got too many units, and I got guys just hang out in the back waiting for someone to die and make room.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fine. So next card, coordination tactics. Start of any turn, target two friendly infantry units in short range of each other. To the end of the turn, both units gain any non-innate abilities, which are the ones without the heart, on the other unit. You may immediately target one unused start of turn order on each of those units. This one's good. This one you can do kind of some crazy stuff with. So, one example, you can put hidden traps on another unit from the Free Folk Trappers. And, like, let's say you think I have Trappers as unit A, unit B is whatever. My opponent has a Cav unit. I can pass hidden traps to unit B, who I think is going to get charged by that Cav. But that Cav is starting its activation within range of the Trappers. They activate. You can trigger hidden traps. When an unengaged enemy in long range performs any action before resolving that action, choose one. Enemy suffers one hit, plus one for each of his main ranks. The enemy suffers minus one to move until the end of the turn. You could be like, well, I'm going to take your minus one to move. So let's say it's Cav unit with five movement. It just went down to four. All right, cool. They move their four. And they're like, I'm going to charge unit B, who also has hidden traps. All right, I'm going to trigger hidden traps on them and then minus one movement again. So now they thought, oh, I'm going to move five and then I have a five movement plus whatever I need for the charge. Well, now they moved four. And then now their movement got turned down to three. And now they're going to try to make their charge. Because you can trigger that because it's coming from two different units and it's two different actions, both of which trigger hidden traps for the remainder turn. Or you could pass out the hits, of course. You could do, if it's a full unit, you could do three hits and then three more hits on their way in. And if they're maybe a six defensive save, you might do five, six wounds just because they moved into range. Right? I mean...
Mm-hmm. You could, yeah. You definitely can, you know, kind of be punishing in a way with the hidden traps.
So that would kind of, I understand. We're talking about, you know, having a specific unit in, not a super specific, but kind of specific scenario here. But it'd be possible. And it would be kind of funny to see that look on your opponent's face and they're like, huh? Okay. Secondly, imagine we have a unit of Frozen Shore Hunters and a unit of Spearwives hanging out near each other. And you can give each other each ability. So you can give Charging Volley and Furious Charge to Frozen Shore Hunters, and you can give Mark Target to some Spearwives. Also, you can give Harpoon. But you give the Mark Target to the Spearwives. They trigger the Mark Target, making the opponent's unit vulnerable. Now, your Frozen Shore Hunters have Charging Volley. So they can throw their Harpoons, six dice, hitting on fours. After completing this attack, defender becomes weakened. Defender suffered any wounds from his attack until the end of the round. They suffer minus one movement, and if they charge, they suffer a disorderly charge. So you could give them minus one movement, you know, whatever. You're going to weaken them. They're going to be vulnerable. You're going to have six dice on fours from your Harpoons, and then your Frozen Shore Hunters would be able to charge also six dice on fours. So maybe your opponent was prioritizing the Spearwives here. And they're like, all right, I don't want Spearwives throwing and charging into my flank, so I'm going to face them, and I'll let the Harpoon dudes have the flank. Like, it's a shit sandwich, but whatever. Well, then you pass that ability over, and then now everything they were trying to prevent, they just caused anyways.
Well, one question with the Mark Target and the Mark Target and the card combo is, do they both share the same trigger?
So they do, but Coordination Tactics says you may immediately trigger one unused start of turn order on either of those units.
Gotcha. So yeah, so you're passing
Coordination Tactics says you can basically double tap this trigger.
Gotcha. So yeah, you pass it to the Spearwives, then you use it on them. So then you can next turn use Mark Target off of the
Frozen Shore Hunters, and then Charging Volley once again from the Spearwives. Now, hey, all these attacks, they're hitting on fours, but you're throwing a lot of dice. If you can get this to go off, you got six dice on fours, no rerolls, six dice on fours with rerolls. Spearwives.
Maybe with rerolls.
Well, yeah, maybe with rerolls. Spearwives, four dice on fours, no rerolls, seven dice on fours, hopefully with rerolls. Multiple vulnerable tokens, because when the Spearwives charge, they place another vulnerable token. So they'll place one from the borrowed Mark Target. The Frozen Shore Hunters would then place one from Mark Target that the Spearwives would exploit on their ranged attack, because when they charge, they're going to get another one. So you're looking at three vulnerable tokens here, along with after completing this attack, defender becomes weakened. So even when defender goes to hit back, they're going to have at least one weakened token on them. If not, they attack the Frozen Shore Hunters, and then you waited until that unit activated and attacked, so that when the Spearwives come in, that doesn't work because it'll be a different turn. Never mind, you're not going to get to place an extra weakened token from the Spearwives because the Coordination Tactics is only start of the turn. Forget I said any of that. Yep. Anyways, though, you are going to get at least a weakened token out of it, and you may get four attacks out of these two units along with three vulnerable tokens.
Yeah, and even so, like this is kind of like a complex scenario where you have two.
You need two units in the right position with the card in your hand at the right time.
There's tons of other ways too to get coordination tactics to go off, even with just other attachments you're bringing and
sure.
other things like that are just even so a little bit more like simpler and not dependent on like your positioning necessarily. We're just like, oh, like even Mark Target coming off of the Frozen Shore Hunters, you can just, you know, put it onto whatever infantry unit you're running and get the vulnerable before their charge.
Yep. Next card here, there's too many. This one's real simple. When an enemy performs a panic test before dice are rolled, the enemy suffers minus one to the roll for each of your friendly units within short range. Super simple. Mm-hmm. Not a lot to highlight there. Anything with Vicious is going to like this because you may have them at, if you got three units in short range, you can get them to like a minus five on a panic. If you're in the flank, minus six, you're in the rear, minus seven. It's kind of bananas. One place where I think it would be exceptionally useful, once again, that Horrific Visage coming off Follower's Bone in the Bone Lord's Chosen, because it's going to proc your heal. If you have a full rank of Bone Lord's Chosen or a full unit and you have three units in short range, you're looking at a minus six to that panic test. Like it's you're gonna get some prey on fear heals here on the Bonelord Chosen, which is nice.
Yeah, it's not obviously as good of a card as it once was, but it's just to help you bend the way to like get more failed panic.
Because it used to get bonus wounds also for each enemy in short range, but probably a well deserved nerf. Next card here, Diversion Tactics. After an enemy completes melee attack, target one other friendly unit in long range of the defender, performs a maneuver action. Just good. All kinds of good here. This might be something that you use to set up like a coordination tactics, the Spear Wives Wombo combo. You also have Charge and Volley on your the Bears.
Yeah.
Or the Bears name. I can't think of their name right now.
Yeah, it can even just let you like slingshot a unit around.
Bear riders.
You could use it on like bear riders or chariots or whatever, where your opponent is kind of drawn in and forced to charge, and then you're free moving, and then you on maybe something that gets like that free move at the beginning of their turn. You move again, and all of a sudden you're actually getting to their flank when you're maybe set a little bit further back, where they're like, "Well, I'm not in danger of getting my flank charge."
Sure. Next one, Overwhelming Assault. Also, super simple, general, useful card. When a friendly unit is performing a melee attack before rolling attack dice, for each friendly unit engaging the defender, choose one. Attack may reroll any dice. Attack gains critical blow. Attack gains sundering. You know, you, once again, you see this theme with Free Folk where like they want lots of bodies on bodies. There's too many is kind of the same thing, but that one's short range. This one's actually engaged. You always have at least one unit engaged when performing a melee attack. Obviously, the unit that charged. But if they're already engaged, coordination tactics, spear wife, all that good stuff, then you get a second ability. If you're charging,
you don't have to pick reroll attacks. Like if you still have your bonus, obviously you're playing a card.
Well, you can't play this card if you disorderly charged anyways.
Correct, yeah.
So that would almost be, you would almost need your opponent to have something that's like, hey, you don't get charge bonuses, period. Yeah. Like, don't care, whatever.
Yeah, the reroll is more for when you're starting engaged.
Because the terrain's not auto... like no rerolls, right? There's no terrain that just says you flat out don't get rerolls to your attack, is there?
Yeah, there is.
The wall, low wall. Is it low wall still?
I don't remember. Honestly, there is terrain. It's either the corpse pile, the bottom, or the low wall. One of them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a piece of terrain that says, hey, you don't get your rerolls. So maybe your opponent's like, all right, well, they're at least not going to get rerolls. So I'm probably only going to take, you know, three or four of these. And then you're like, nope, Overwhelming Assault, still getting my rerolls.
Yeah.
Maybe the unit already has crit blow or sundering or, you know, whatever. Next, surrounded and exposed. Once again, bodies on bodies here. Target one enemy unit for each of your friendly units in short range of that enemy beyond the first. The enemy gains condition token. So if you got three, which you're going to try to do because you have multiple cards asking for it, like you just try to token puke on someone. Start of any turn. So their turn, your turn, doesn't matter. Start of their turn. Could be looking for Thin because they think that they're gonna hit you, and then you token puke on them, and then now they activate, so you have your hold the line, so they're taking hits with that vulnerable token on them, and Thin are kind of sturdy, so you now they're weakened, they're probably not gonna do a whole lot. Kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's just a way to like up your offense a little bit.
Sure.
Like getting more tokens.
And a nice one for that, and really any of these could be Vermeer Shadowcat because it doesn't deploy as usual. Start of any round, you deploy it fully within short range of any flank table edge. So you can deploy the Shadow Cat, and then your opponent is now charged by two or three units that round that they didn't expect, and it helps get some of these things off. Final generic card here, Endless Horde. Start of any turn, target a friendly infantry unit and attach this card to them until the end of the game. When this unit is destroyed, place one Free Folk Raiders unit with one raid leader attached to it fully within long range of a friendly table edge unactivated. So put this card A on your Cave Dweller Savages because you're going to want to flirt with those low ranks and you may have really bad rolls or maybe your opponent has a set of really good rolls or something happens that you didn't anticipate and then you end up dying because of it. That's a byproduct of trying to play on one rank. So you put the Endless Horde on them, which may de-incentivize your opponent of sending resources their way. You know, it's kind of a lose-lose here. Like, do you let a unit run around with eight dice hitting on twos and sundering? Or do you have your opponent bring in a unit of Free Folk Raiders somewhere in the game where you may not want another unit? You may know, hey, they're going to drop this on my left table side. I can't afford for them to have more bodies over there. Like, maybe the Savages, gassed up, are still less of a threat than this other body on the other side of the table that's going to start triggering all these other cards that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it might even not even be triggering cards. It could be just you putting that unit down and then marching it onto an objective that isn't covered by anything, or putting it in the flank of another unit that you want to, that you're trying to charge instead. They're spun where they can march into the flank essentially.
Or maybe you do put this on a tanky unit to just, maybe you really don't want your opponent attacking a unit. If I put this on thin, between hold the line and taunt and an endless horde, you don't want to be anywhere near them. Cool. I want to park them in the middle of the table on an objective. And that's just what I want to do. Is there still game modes where you get extra points for the center objective? I would say probably. I know that, that was a pretty awesome change when they made it back when.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm going to park my Thin on the center objective and my opponent's like, I really don't want to go attack these Thin, but you have to. And then, you know, they're going to put resources into them, which is fine. I'm going to put my Endless Horde on them.
Yeah. I'd go kill your Thin.
Yeah. That's fine. Go get them. They're only all right.
Four up with a six up.
Yeah. Meh. I'll find a way. All right. Now we're going to get into some of the commanders here. We are going to talk about the commander's attachment, but those would be the only attachments we cover in this here. We're just going to work our way down the list, starting with the starter heroes. We'll go Free Folk Heroes 1, so on. Mance Raider, King Beyond the Wall. He has counter strategy, enemy in short range, uses an order, is targeted by a taxes card, roll a die, 3+, cancel the effect, that order or taxes card. Bolster Charisma. This unit may never be targeted by enemy orders, tactics cards, or influenced by enemy NCUs. Kind of awesome. This unit's morale stat becomes 5. So there's morale is a soft spot in the Free Folk Army. For the most part, a 5 is a buff to almost everyone. One thing to note, though, this unit's morale stat becomes 5+. So if you were to put him on Raiders, or not Raiders, I'm sorry, Savages, you would make their morale worse. It doesn't say this unit may use a 5+ morale from Mance Raider. It says, like, this happens. So, I don't know why you would put him in Savages, but there's crazy people out there. If you have reason to put him in Savages, leave a comment below. But you would effectively make their morale worse. Just a FYI here. First tactics card, when an enemy NCU activates, if that NCU claims zone this turn, before or after resolving that zone's effect, target one enemy combat unit, it gains one condition token, then target one enemy combat unit, suffers D3+1 wounds. Not a really a, that's more of a debuff to your opponent than it is a buff to you, so it doesn't really play into a specific unit within the army.
It's just an NCU control card. It keeps, you know, oh, they're going to put their big guy out and maybe they're playing Starks and they have wolves, or they're playing with Baratheons in their solos. And you're like, just essentially threatening, to kill a unit if they play 7CU.
Truth. His next card, start of the first enemy turn in a round. Oh, predictable maneuvers. Sorry. Start of the first enemy turn in a round. Target one enemy combat unit and one enemy NCU. If either unit performs an action this turn, before they resolve that action, one friendly combat unit performs one attack, maneuver, or retreat action. It's kind of a terrible card. Because it has to be their first turn of a round. They have their whole army accessible to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This card used to, you saved it for the end of the round when they had very limited options, usually like one unit, and you're like, all right, well, they do anything, and I get to do a thing.
There could be a reason, though, that they changed it to this and not left it the same.
I'm sure there is, because that was kind of a feels bad.
It's pretty automatic, obviously, with that, because you're getting a free attack. You can get a free attack, essentially.
So now it's, if you think your opponent is going to take the combat zone, or maybe they have an NCU that they always activate this NCU first or whatever, you can kind of put them off that. But I think most time you're going to play this card and they're going to be like, all right, well, let me activate this other NCU.
Well, the thing that it does control is if they've set up like an Alpha Strike where like they need to attack or they need to activate like a unit first.
True.
Lets you control that to maybe, because you can just, they moved their cav into my flank. Well, I can free maneuver if they activate that cav or an NCU or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can not die as quick.
True. So maybe if they have something like that set up, though, you know, they may just do it anyhow, but
yeah,
you can see. Final Mance card, the Long Plan. This one actually has three different triggers and effects. First one, end of any turn, if an opponent controls the tactic zone, search your tactics deck for any one card and add it to your hand, shuffle your tactics deck. Maybe you have a unit that just got almost blown up and you're like, I really need to go grab a Endless Horde to throw on them. Or maybe you did set up some kind of crazy combo and you want to go get your coordination or whatever. Second effect, end of the round, search your tactics deck for any one card and add it to your hand, shuffle your tactics deck. This is before you draw cards for the next round. So you may be filling up your hand, eliminating your chance to just draw the card that you needed. Or end of any turn, draw a tactics card. So I mean, it's good because it does have three different times to use it. I think most of the time, end of any turn, if your opponent controls the tactics, go get the card you want.
Yeah, the end of round two is the same way, because maybe you have two of the cards that you want in your hand, and instead of saying, I'm going to take a one in whatever chance, or two in whatever chance of drawing the card I want, you just go in and find the card you want.
Maybe yeah.
Get it and feast, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty straightforward. We can move on to Tormund Giantsbane. Thunder Fist here, commander attachment. He has overrun. When a unit surges forth instead of surging forth, perform a maneuver or march. And then his
charge or march.
Yes, you already get a maneuver. I'm sorry. Thank you. And then his unit's melee attacks gain sundering. Okay, good abilities here. First card, we have Rush of Aggression. When a friendly unit is performing a charge action before rolling charge distance dice, this unit automatically counts as rolling a six on all charge distance dice, and their melee attacks gain critical blow. After this attack has been completed, unless the attacker is Tormund's unit, they become vulnerable. The first and foremost, the best place to put this is the She Bears, or the Frozen Shore Bear Riders. She Bears,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Because they do have, they only have a four movement, so getting an auto six. It's nice. It just gets you in on a 10-inch charge, which your opponent would normally think they're pretty safe from a unit with four movement. Picking up crit blow is great, once again, because they already have vicious, sundering, and precision. So it's hooked them up with all four keywords. And they can afford a vulnerable token because they have 16 wounds, saving on a 4+ and a 5+ morale. So,
they'll essentially live in like the attack back.
Yes. Obviously, they're going to take the vulnerable because you can't put Tormund in them. He's infantry. They are a cav unit. But that, I think that's the most blatant place where you're like, this becomes awesome real quick.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a big, big speed boost and output boost.
Yeah. But just a big offensive pushes are going to like Rush of Aggression. You could throw Tormund in your, you know, your Spear Wives if you wanted to. But that would probably be maybe a little bit of overkill. Because they just walk around with Sundering. Oh, no, they don't. They don't walk around with Sundering.
Not anymore, no. Yeah, like,
Tormund Spear Wives might be a nice play.
Yeah, because you could keep yourself out of some distance or some range because you're, well, you're short range throwing, but it gives you that little bit of, just a little what you need.
Yep. His next card, Counter Assault. After an enemy completes a melee attack, target one friendly combat unit other than the defender. They perform one attack or charge action on the attacker. If this targets Tormund's unit, they may reroll any attack and charge distance dice for this action. Once again, great place to put him is the Spear Wives here. Because you can perform one attack or charge. Doesn't say it has to be a melee attack here. And you get rerolls. So you would get rerolls on the ranged attack that could be triggering the charging volley. And then you also, you get to reroll the charge distance dice, which would, you'd have two chances to not disorderly charge it. Even if you do disorderly charge it, they're still gaining rerolls on that melee attack.
Yeah, because you're actually going to be auto win too if you're double tapping because of the six movement.
Yeah, yep. So Spear Wives are a great target for that card. If Tormund is in the Spear Wives, even better. Oh, yeah, because they get the rerolls. So you want Tormund in there so you get rerolls on your ranged attack, even though it's only four dice. Four on fours, you should be able to pull off three versus only two, which you'll average otherwise. Let's see here. Devastating Impact is his final tactics card. When a friendly unit performs a charge action, after rolling charge distance dice, enemies successfully charged by this unit become panicked and vulnerable. If this targets Tormund's unit, they may reroll any charge distance dice. When a friendly unit is performing a charge action after rolling charge distance dice.
Yes.
Okay, so as long as you may fail the charge and not roll a one, basically. If you roll a one on the failed charge, you can't play this card.
No, you can, because it's after rolling charge distance dice. You can play the card.
Even though you disorderly charged?
Yeah, it's telling you when to play it. I don't know why you couldn't roll it after.
I mean, I guess my question would be is, when do you disorderly charge? Do you disorderly as soon as you roll that first one? Because you may not, you wouldn't play this yet. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
you roll any charge distance. I'd have to consult the rule book maybe on that one.
Because really, if you didn't disorder order it, like, who cares if you have the reroll?
Well, you may have failed the charge. Maybe you needed a four.
Yeah, but if you fail the charge, you still disorder. Well, you're not disordering, but
you're not disordered, but you could play this card and reroll that die. You got a two or a three. True. You needed a four. You could play this card and reroll it. But if you roll a one and fail, can you play this card because you have now disorderly charged? I don't know. Interesting. I didn't pick up on that interaction first time I kind of read this. You guys let us know what you think. And in the meantime, we'll consult the rule book. And
there's probably some rule that we're not even aware of. Like I said, Well, this is the first time we're back after a long time.
I don't know. Maybe they changed up how disorderly charges or rolling ones work. I would like to think here the intent is that even if you rolled a one, you could re-roll it.
Yeah.
But we've, you know, argued intent versus read as worded before. And
Yeah.
Moving on from Tormund, we have Harma. She's been a long time favorite. I mean, there was a phase of Free Folk where like Harma Commander was the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When Free Folk Heroes 1 dropped, everyone ran Harma. Everyone ran Harma. It was Harma and Mance. Those were your two list. Everyone knew it. I don't know if she's had a fall from grace or not. She does have some pretty cool stuff still. She has an order. Superior flanking. When a friendly unit in long range performs an attack, perform all attack dice. If attacking the defender in the flank or rear, defender becomes panicked and vulnerable. Super useful to have, especially if you're in the flank and rear. Harma's unit has enhanced mobility, gains +1, and may pivot before marching. First card here for Harma, we have Hit and Run. After a friendly unit completes a melee attack, that unit performs one retreat action. If this targets Harma's unit, any enemy it disengages from become weakened. The most obvious application for this, once again, are your charging volley units, your Frozen Shore Bear Riders and your Spear Wives, because it's after you complete your melee attack. So you do your shoot, you do your charge and volley charge, you get that attack, now you get to retreat. That opponent will get a pivot. So you may want to kind of save this for when they're already engaged with another unit, so then you can start trying to bounce around flanks and rears and things like that. Or maybe you run up, bop them, and then you retreat straight back to hang out with your friends versus trying to get flanks and things. Just be aware that they will get to pivot after you complete your retreat. Harma's next card here, Fainting Maneuver. When a friendly unit successfully charges, if they contacted the front of the enemy, instead align this unit tray to any flank of that enemy. If they contacted the flank of the enemy, instead align this unit to the tray to the rear of that enemy. Just super useful movement shenanigans here. You may have a unit that is off the front left side of your opponent, and they're like, all right, cool. My right side is good. I can put other units places or don't have to worry about this side. Well, you hit them with a fainting maneuver and you can realign in any flank. It used to be like closest flank or something and it would get weird sometimes. Mm-hmm. So now you can align them in any flank. So you can actually run diagonally across that unit to the other side for their engagement. Could get pretty crazy, which it pairs well with Harma's character ability. When you attack in the flank or rear, panicked and vulnerable, this card basically autos that as long as you're within range of her. And then once again, Hit and Run. If you could, do your charge, jump to the other side of the unit into the flank, and then you hit and run, you retreat, into the rear. So you could go from front left to back right in one turn. It'd be kind of crazy. It'd be kind of awesome. That kind of the same thing goes for Harma's final card, Swift Reposition. Start of any turn, target one friendly combat unit. It shifts 2 inches. If it's Harma's unit, they may perform a 3-inch maneuver instead. Cool. Just general movement shenanigans. No one super crazy specifically to do this with. You may use it offensively, defensively. You could use it to get in range, out of range, body block, block line of sight. Lots of uses for this card. Then I know I said we weren't going to talk about attachments. I'm assuming Harma's Bannerman still basically says like, hey, this is a mini Harma for all purposes. So you'd have two units on the field that could maneuver.
Yeah, I'm not sure what her Bannerman says right now. I thought he always attached with her and gave like a second ability, and he was like free.
Well, that'll be easy enough to look up. Let's see here. Harm is Bannerman. Harm is Vassal. This model counts as Harm for all abilities and effects.
Gotcha. So that's double two Harmers. Got it.
Two Harmers. Yep. So you'd have two options at triggering that 3-inch maneuver versus the 2-inch shift. Next, Free Folk Commander. Probably always been my favorite of the options, even though he's not, unless it's been in the last couple of years, he's never been like the meta competitive choice. We're going to go rattle shirt here. I've just always thought his mechanics were so cool. Attaching the cards to get the buffs, and it plays on this like, oh, they're using the bones of their enemies to be cooler sort of thing. Love the flavor. His order, trophy collecting after a rattle shirt commander tactic card is attached to a friendly unit. Search your tactics deck or discard pile for one of Rattle Shirt's commander tactics cards and attach it to this unit. Shuffle your tactics deck. So you can have your units running around out there doing things, air quotes here, collecting trophies, and then Rattle Shirt also gets to collect trophies from it. Just cool mechanic. And it also kind of plays on like the he was a bit of a bitch. And yeah. Like, you know, he thought he was tough. Tormund put him in his place in the show, at least, but I don't think we ever got to that point in the books. Not yet. Maybe, maybe not. It's been so long since I read the books, I don't remember anymore. Second ability, Intimidating Presence. Enemy engages this unit suffer -1 morale test and +1 wound from failing panic test. As we've seen, that pairs very well with Followers of Bone, Bone Lord Chosen, as makes sense. Along with this first card, after a friendly unit completes a melee attack, if it destroyed an enemy rank, attach this card to one friendly infantry or cavalry unit. So you can throw this on the Bear Riders. Infantry or cavalry unit in short range of the attacker. All enemies they are engaged with become panicked. When an enemy performs an action while engaged with this unit, before resolving that action, they become panicked. Obvious choices, the Follower of Bones and the Bone Lord Chosen, because they are procking panic test to attack them. You're performing an action while engaged, so now units are going to become panicked prior to taking those panic tests. It just works. But, I mean, panic's good to pass out all the time. Lots of good places to put this. Next card, we got Weapon Trophies. Rattle Shirt. After a friendly unit completes a melee attack, if it destroyed an enemy rank, which is the same trigger for all three of his cards.
Mm-hmm.
Attach this card to one friendly infantry or cavalry unit in short range of the attacker. While attached, their melee attacks gain +1 to hit. Dakota, is there ever been a unit that you wouldn't add +1 to hit on?
No, I think, I mean, for Free Folk, you're definitely want it, because I think most things hit on fours, if I'm not mistaken. I think the only things that are hitting on threes are like your Followers of Bone and then your Savages when they get leveled up. Yep. But I mean, putting +1 to hit is just,
it's always good.
It's just more efficiency.
It helps support units put out some offense. It helps offensive units gas up and really go do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Because really, too, even getting like your 3+ to hit units onto twos is real good.
So yeah, throwing this on Savages, you can now hit on twos with two ranks. You'd only be 7 dice, but you'd be 7 dice hitting on twos,
mm-hmm.
and you're flirting a little less with that wanting to die. So,
yeah.
The same thing would go for the next card. Attaches after destroyed enemy rank, friendly infantry or cavalry unit, short range of the attacker. While attached, +1 of defensive dice.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's,
yep, just help me stay alive.
That's pretty good.
Everyone can benefit from that.
Yeah, I think obviously the obvious more obvious choices for that are going to be like your Thenn, Followers of Bone, the Bone Most Chosen, because I think they all have four up save. Maybe one of those has like a 3+ save, but you don't have a lot of good defensive stats in Free Folk.
Sure. Or maybe, I mean, Followers of Bone. That's where I was going. Sorry.
Yeah.
maybe I want a follower's bone are a 5 and Bumler's chosen are also a 5. So that'd be getting you to a 4. Like, which
yeah, I did say the 50%. I mean, throwing that on Fen, though, is really good because then you actually have like a real actual tanky unit.
Yeah.
Not just AO.
Even, I don't even think throwing it on Raiders is a waste because Raiders are super annoying. Your opponent just wants to deal with them and get them the hell out of their way, and they think they can pretty quick. And then now you just made a unit a little tankier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, you know, come on. And Rattleshirt, his order, he can trigger. He can go get things out of a discard pile. So it's not a throwaway, just putting it on Raiders, right? It's you can go get it back later. So it's not too bad. So next, not finishing up Free Folk Heroes 1, but next. Sorry. Steyr, whatever. He was always a really fun one to play. I know back other editions ago, his commander didn't see a lot of play because his NCU was so good for so long. I don't remember for sure what it was, but it was like an influence for maybe like +1 dice and sundering or...
Yeah, it was something like that. I'm not even sure what his current one is, but yeah, it was basically gas up crappy units.
Yep. And NCUs will also be in that next episode, along with attachments, by the way. But yep. Then Supremacy, which it's Lannister Supremacy, but then after an enemy completes an attack on this unit, target the attacker, they suffer 1 panic test with -1 to roll and +1 wounds on a failure for each remaining rank in this unit. So after they complete an attack on you, taking a panic test at, you know, -2, -3, +2, +3 wounds, somewhere in there. I mean, maybe as low as -1, +1, but...
Yeah, and then you can even throw on, like, there's too many basic card to, like, really just, like, stack up that test.
Yeah, yep. That, you could keep healing this unit so that they keep taking that test with larger deficits and things. And then you also have Iron Resolve, which just helps this unit stay alive. This unit gains +1 to panic test rolls and suffers -1 wound from failing panic tests. So maybe this unit might get to fail panic test and not take a wound sometimes, or they're just less likely to fail the panic test anyhow. Either way, this unit's going to be harder to kill, and your opponent wants them killed or close to killed as quickly as possible. First card, Final Strike. After an enemy completes a melee attack, which does share the trigger of the order on Steyr, so just FYI, for each wound the defender suffered, the attacker suffers 1 hit. If the defender was in long range of Steyr's unit, the enemy suffers -1 to defensive dice rolls against these. The best place to put this is you do have that unit of Raiders that you just kind of put out there and maybe threw a little Endless Horde on them or, you know, whatever. And your opponent's like, all right, let me just get these guys off, get them out of the way. And they run up and they do all 12 wounds to them. I remember earlier iterations of this card, the unit had to live and it sucked because they never did. But now you can take all 12 wounds. They could one pop a unit and you're like, all right, well now you're taking 12 wounds too. And they may be at -1 to defensive dice. They may have a vulnerable token. You might be able to do some serious damage with this thing. You know, throw them on Raiders and they're 5/7 defense and morale. So like there's a chance they die. They take extra wounds from panic. Or it de-incentivizes your opponent to killing your squishy little Raiders unit, and now they get to run around and be super annoying. Fun. Then Defiance, second card here. When a friendly unit is performing a panic test after dice are rolled, this unit may reroll any dice for this test. If they are in short range of Steyr, they pass this test instead. If this targets Steyr's unit, target one enemy they are engaged with, it suffers 1 wound +1 wound for each of this unit's destroyed ranks. Um, So you could trigger this before the Thin Defiance would come into play, because this is after panic test dice are rolled, but not after enemy completes an attack. Mm-hmm. So it's good stack with that. This kind of helps fill a gap for free folk. Morale is an issue for them. So just being able to mitigate a little bit of panic test could go a long way for them. Even if it is only two a game. It might be just enough to where, like, you keep a unit alive, which keeps an opponent's unit engaged, so you can get a flank or rear attack next turn, next round, whatever. Third steer card, start of any turn. Target one friendly combat unit and attach this card to them until the end of the game. When a friendly unit is destroyed, place one order token on this card. While this card is a token, the attached unit gains. When this unit attacks before attack dice are rolled, the defender becomes vulnerable. All right. A little bit to unpack here. But you put this on your, once again, Frozen Shore Bear Riders. And then you have a final strike in your hand. You throw your unit of raiders, I mean, metaphorically and possibly realistically, to the wolves. If you're playing Starks, they get popped. You get to play your final strike, which is awesome. And then you've already attached Steer's Vengeance. You wanted the unit to die anyways. And then now your Frozen Shore Bear Riders are vulnerable-ing everything on attacks now for the rest of the game. They have 16 wounds. They're not going anywhere anytime soon, hopefully. Vicious, Sundering, Precision, Vulnerable Tokens, Charging Volleys, so you could double tap those Vulnerable Tokens. One Vulnerable on the shot, one on the charge. Probably worth the trade-off of that unit of Raiders. Final character here in the Free Folk Heroes 1. Weeper. I've always liked him thematically. He's supposed to be terrifying, and he's kind of he does some cool stuff. Pairs very well with a lot of Rattleshirt stuff. First ability, order, Grizzly Example, start of any turn. This unit suffers one wound. Target all enemies in short range. They become panicked. So you push him in the middle of the table, get in a place where you have two, three, maybe four is probably kind of crazy for short range, but not impossible. You just get to panic everyone at the cost of one wound. Just good. You can do it once around. This unit's melee attacks gain vicious, and then he has weakened resolve. Each time an enemy engages this unit, fails a panic test, they become weakened. So really doubling down on the panic mechanics here. Weeper's first tactics card, Cruel Method. Start of any turn, target one enemy combat unit. You may expend one panic token from that unit. If you do, choose two. Two of these following little bits here. One friendly infantry unit in long range restores two wounds. This may be selected multiple times. So you may get to throw a whole rank back on a unit in long range. Or that enemy becomes vulnerable, the one you expended the panic token from, or that enemy becomes weakened. So you could trade a panic token for healing two wounds and a vulnerable or weakened. You could trade a panic token for a vulnerable and a weakened. Just gives you some decent token play here. It pairs well with the Grizzly Example, because you just spit out a bunch of panic tokens. So now you can turn one of those into something else or some heals or whatever. Plays nice. Also, all right. Okay. And also, another way to generate some panic tokens here, the War Mammoth. Whenever it makes a melee attack before rolling attack dice, defender becomes panicked. Simple little way, maybe just, you know, to get extra panic tokens. And then 1/1, the giant, has a Warcry ability. Unit performs a morale test on a success. Target one enemy in long range, becomes panicked and vulnerable. So a couple of ways to generate some panic tokens there to pop off your cruel methods cards.
Mm-hmm.
Weeper's second card, Price of Failure. When a friendly infantry unit is performing a melee attack before an attack dice, all attack dice rolls automatically hit for this attack. After this attack is completed, if the defender was not destroyed, the attacker becomes panicked and vulnerable. I mean, this is just to help you kill some stuff. And you really want to kill some stuff so that you don't become panicked and vulnerable. But it's yeah. Nice to get a bunch of auto hits.
Yeah, it's just really to helping the bad free folk melee attacks.
Yep. And then Weeper's final card, Remorseless Examples, which can also help out your Cruel Methods card here. After a friendly unit completes a melee attack, if this attack destroyed an enemy rank, target one other enemy in long range of that enemy. They become panicked. If this attack destroyed the enemy, also place one corpse pile with the following keywords anywhere fully in short range and not overlapping other terrain. It would have Hindering and its own ability, Grim Reminder. Enemies suffer minus one to morale test rolls and plus one wounds from failing panic test while in short range. So it would be a panic test that only affects your enemy. Free folk yeah. units would not be affected by this. So the first part of the card, you destroy an enemy rank, you could spit out a panic token, which once again, we circle back to Cruel Methods. That's what I was trying to figure out. and then you get a bonus if you kill the unit, which is nice. All right, next here, we have the Great Walrus. Now, the Great Walrus is new since we've stepped away from the game, so kind of everything I'm seeing, really in the rest of this episode, I'm learning it as, if you're listening to this, learning it too, we're in it together. As probably is Dakota, have you seen much of these guys?
Yeah, I've played against the Great Walrus once. I played against Varamir, who we're going to cover here, a few times. I've played against Mag, but not as a commander. Most of the times I played against him, it's just as his unit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Got it. The Great Walrus, Lord of the Frozen Shore. Sounds like a shitty place to be a lord, if you ask me. This unit is a Frozen Shore unit. They have Go Down Fighting. Each time a rank in this unit is destroyed, one enemy they engage with suffers one wound. Kind of a we beat you up for beating us up. And they have Hardened. Each time an enemy is performing an attack on this unit, after rolling defensive dice, this unit blocks one hit for each of its destroyed ranks. So you don't get a bonus from this until you have lost a rank. And then you can block up to two hits when you're on last rank. The Walrus's first card here. We got Battle Endurance. Start a friendly turn, target one friendly combat unit, attach this card to them until the end of the game. While attached, that unit's melee attacks gain the following bonuses based on the game round. Effects are cumulative. Round 3, can reroll any misses. Round 4, Sundering. Round 5, Critical Blow. Round 6, plus 2 attack dice. Once again, we have that, like, you help support units turn up the offense a little. Units that are already turning up the offense can really start kind of packing some stuff away here. It's yeah. Good late game card, especially for free folk who kind of they'll play into the late game because they got the bodies to do it. So late game's their friend, I guess I would say.
Yeah. I mean, this card is, it's just a few other factions have this card as well. It's just a good card.
Is it the same in all factions? Yeah. No.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Once again, took way longer than it should have to get that ironed out.
Yeah.
Second card, Frozen Shore Resilience. When an enemy is performing an attack, after rolling defensive dice, target the defender. They may reroll any defense dice. If the defender is a Frozen Shore unit, they may also reroll any panic test dice for this attack. Good. I mean, when would you not like to reroll your defensive dice? Keeps things alive, especially things like Thin, where you really want their ranks to stay up. If you have the Walrus in your Thin, you're auto going to pass your panic test. Oh, no, not auto pass. I'm sorry. But you're going to get to reroll those on a 6+. Hopefully can pass. It's good stuff. It just stays for this one attack. It's not a hangout for a while kind of card, but it's still pretty good.
Yep.
Final, Walrus Strength. When a friendly unit is performing a melee attack, before rolling attack dice, if this unit is a Frozen Shore unit, gains +1 to hit. If this unit begun the turn engaged with the defender, rolls its highest attack die value. So you can play at lower ranks here and still have a good offensive output. Maybe you can, your opponent was, hey, I got those guys down. They're only rolling a few dice now. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Then you gas them up and you get to bring full dice to the table. Especially a Frozen Shore unit. You can pick up +1 to hit and now you're extra offensive when your opponent thought you were kind of neutered.
Yeah, really just throwing the Walrus and like then himself. You know, you could put like a battle endurance on them and all of a sudden it's just really cranking them up. Because really they're like the most defensive unit where you can kind of, I wouldn't say hang out at lower ranks, but you're not going to just get blown up.
Yeah. Pretty good looking stuff there from him. I'm excited getting back into the game and then getting my hands on some of these new guys that are hanging out at the party since I left. So brings us to Varamyr. Now, I'd heard that this guy had been causing some issues design-wise the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like he was just able to do too much stuff.
His biggest issue was, and I'm not even sure if it's changed or how much it changed, was so he brings along
a whole woodland critter Christmas.
He brings the bobcat and a wolf, and he was only like 5 points himself as a solo. So for 5 points, you got like 3 activations. I'm not sure how much that's actually changed. I mean, he still might be pretty cheap for 3 activations, but it just bobcat, plays.
It's a shadow cat, you uncultured swine.
Whatever. But basically, it plays into that whole like I'm going to bring a bunch of activations, mm-hmm. and
like I'm not really going to do anything, but it's going to make you miserable.
Yeah. You're going to play the game, and then I'm going to play the game and kill you with mag while I do it.
Yes. Sundering Vicious, +1 attack die. We'll get more into what his critters and stuff do in the next episode. He brings some critters. His first card, Bond of Command. When a friendly Varamyr, Shadowcat, or Wolfpack unit activates, this unit cannot perform actions this turn. Instead, target one other friendly Varamyr, Shadowcat, or Wolfpack unit in long range. It performs an action. Maybe you have one of these units in the flank, one in the front. You attack with the one in the flank. It does the thing. Your opponent's like, okay, cool. My next attack is coming from the front. And then that front unit passes its attack back to the flank. You take the flank attack over the front attack. Abuse the -1 to defense and panic and all that good stuff.
Yeah, the way I've seen that one used most is they basically deploy that Shadow Cat on your flank behind you because you can get it in really close. Like, you can't zone it out well sometimes. And then he's in front of you, or with at least in long range of that. Maybe he's even behind a unit, and then they're just like, boom, that thing's going to charge now. And it's just, that's what's charging you. And then you're just engaged with something.
Yep. Or because the Shadow Cat, I think, has a free maneuver. it could like maneuver and then march, and now it's in long range of the wolf, and the wolf's like, all right, it gets to perform an action, it's going to charge now, you know, like, so it just covered, assuming its movement is 6, it may have just covered 18, and then now it's going to charge from 7 plus out. So, yeah. You know, cool shenanigans. I'm not sure how good those units are. I haven't really got to check those out yet.
They're not great. They're just obviously like annoying things yeah. that attack you.
That sums up most of the free folk army.
Yeah, yeah.
Second card here, Bonded Guardians. After a friendly Vyrmir, Shadowcat, or Wolfpack unit is attacked, target one other friendly Vyrmir, Shadowcat. We're just going to call these guys the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, basically
57 times.
It's the woodland critter creatures.
Yeah, all right. Target one other woodland critter, and it performs an attack, charge, or maneuver. If attacking or charging, must target the attacker. Yeah, great. It's kind of the same thing. You can maneuver, march that Shadowcat, and now they're in long range. So one of the other critters get attacked, and now the Shadowcat can charge, rear, flank, whatever it may be. Okay, you're back.
Yep, my bad.
Okay, are you good?
I meant to mute.
Got it. Final Woodland Critter Christmas card here. Summon companions. Summon Woodland Critter Christmases. Start of an enemy turn. Select either Shadowcat or Wolfpack. If that unit is on the battlefield, you may remove it from the battlefield. After, if that unit is not on the battlefield from either this effect or having been destroyed, redeploy it fully within short range of any flank table edge. If that unit has already activated this round, it deploys activated. Once again, we can drop our Shadowcat in somewhere, move them around, you know, crazy places. It's
And you're just respawning that annoying stuff if it's dead. So you activate it, send it in, it dies. Oh, you just bring it back and you've wasted an activation.
Okay. I kind of missed that part, but yeah, you can. Yep. Okay. That makes it a lot better, actually. Makes it real nice. Final commander here, and it's not a 3-card commander. It is a 10. It's a full new tactics deck. Meg the Mighty, the Giants. All right. So Meg's unit card here, because he is his own solo unit. 5 movement, 7 dice on 3s, 4 defense, 4 morale. He has 6 wounds, only ever suffers 1 for every 2 unblocked hits from any attack or effect. This unit can only suffer a maximum of 2 wounds from failing panic. Their attack, Vicious Defender, do not roll defensive dice. When Mag is destroyed, before being removed, he performs 1 Chieftain's Fury attack, which is his attack. So 7 on 3s, no saves. When he attacks, when he dies, he gets a free attack. Mag's first card here, Shrug It Off. When a friendly monster unit performs an action before resolving that action, that unit may replace that action with this unit restores up 3 wounds. It doesn't say, it's not an activation. Anytime they perform an action, so free actions can grab you some wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Best place to get free actions in Free Folk Army is Lady Val. Each time Lady Val claims a zone, you may replace the zone's effect with 1 friendly combat unit performs 1 maneuver action. So you could trigger this card off of the unit activating and being like, oh, instead of maneuvering, I'm going to replace my action with restore 3 wounds. You can trigger this card with claiming the maneuver zone instead of this unit moving. Good job. Maneuvering, they heal 3 wounds. Or you could have Lady Val claim any zone, target this unit with a maneuver, they heal 3 wounds. This card alone might make Lady Val an auto include
if she wasn't already.
Yeah. I said we weren't gonna talk about NCUs a ton, but that one slipped through, I guess. I put this together without making the no NCUs rule.
Well, it's hard to not include an auto include.
Yeah, Yeah, right. She'll be in the next episode too.
Yeah.
Second card, Trample. When a friendly giant unit performs a charge action before resolving that action, that unit replaces the charge action with pivot this unit, then move it 10 inches, moving 3 units. If it ends over a unit, it instead stops 1 inch away. Each non-solo unit it moved through or that it would have ended on suffers D3 wounds. So let's say Meg is in a flank. There's two infantry units basically side by side. I'm sorry, not Meg, any giant. Meg, 1-1, savage giant. They trample. They would go moving through the unit. Maybe they're in... No, this is based off a charge action.
Okay. Yeah, so
you could still do it. But
yeah, it's... I'll just add, I don't think it's as good as we think it would be, but it's basically if you're sitting at like a 10-inch charge, which would be pretty far, you can, or a 9-inch charge, instead of actually just rolling that charge out and maybe missing it altogether, you can trample, where you'd end on the unit and then it'd still suffer D3 wounds.
Sure.
You know, it's just, if you're like, I don't want to roll that charge, I'm going to play this and still do damage.
Or
you could like cross a corner, like to like get behind them.
Or if you have a giant that is maybe engaged by two units on the same side or in the front or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you have both of them 50-50 on the front. You trample through them.
Well, you have a charge.
Oh, you do have charge. Okay.
Yeah.
So you Lady Vow in retreat.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You get 1 inch away and then you go 10 inches through both of them and they don't get a pivot. So you end up in their rears.
Right.
Okay.
It, like I said, it looks good.
That charging thing keeps screwing me up.
Yeah, yeah. You're used to just the
just trampling.
Just what I forget what it was called, but just moving through people. Yeah. But that's like
but anyhow, you're engaged with the unit or you're face to face with the unit, not quite engaged with them yet. You could just go through them to their rear and mag is a big enough issue. On it by his own, pun intended. But Meg in the rear is not something any human wants, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Monsters from the North. Third card here. When an enemy in short range of a friendly monster unit activates, the enemy suffers one panic test with -1 to their roll for each friendly monster unit in short range, up to -3. On a failure, they suffer +1 wound for each friendly monster unit in short range up to 3. So you kind of want to keep your monsters, giants,
together. Yeah. You run like a goon squad of them.
Mammoths, Varamir's stuff. I'm assuming he has an attachment version, blah, blah, blah. You want to run them together, which begs the question, what is a group of giants called? Are they a pack? Are they a herd? Do they have their own special little name?
Just a group of giants. I don't know.
No, it's got to be something cooler than that. It's got to be like a clubbing or something, you know? Yeah. Okay. Keep your giants together is what they're saying. You'll do cooler stuff. Next one here, we're going to kind of talk about a card, talk about a second card, circle back to the first card, kind of a crazy wombo combo sort of setup here. Second card is Enrage, or next card is Enrage. Start of a friendly monster unit's activation. That unit suffers 2 wounds. Until the end of the turn, that unit may reroll any attack dice and defenders become panicked. So the first place this takes us is to the Savage Giant. This is your basic giant, not named character. When this unit hits, when this unit hits, it defender suffers D3 wounds +1 wound for each wound this unit has suffered. Mm-hmm. So you deal yourself 2 wounds at the start of your activation. Yep. All right. At the start of your activation, now you're doing D3 +3 wounds on the attack. Okay.
No, it'd be D3 +2 if you're full health.
Oh, +1 wound for each. Yeah. I was 1 plus. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So D3 +2 because you took your own two wounds here. Next fun little interaction here. You could play this on, maybe you're attacking a super tanky unit and they have one wound left. And you're like, I don't care what happens. I need this thing to die. When the mammoth is destroyed before being removed, one enemy it is engaged with suffers D3 wounds. You could activate your mammoth, play enrage on them, essentially suiciding your mammoth, but it's going to do D3 wounds. So you're not going to worry about your six dice hitting on fours that they get to make saves against. You're gonna kill your mammoth and you're going to do D3 wounds to your opponent. Obviously you would use this when maybe you're free folk. You have extra units. They're like on two units or one unit. And then you're like, I need this thing to die and I don't need my mammoth the rest of the game.
The trigger for it isn't, it's any unit, not just a man. It's not just a giant, correct?
It is, a monster.
Monster, okay.
So you could also maybe do this to Shadow Cat, Wolf Pack, yeah. Those sorts of things also. And then you're not rolling attack dice in that scenario, but the defender will become panicked. But in the let's kill my mammoth scenario, that unit probably only has one wound. Now, you also have the I'll just kill my own Meg scenario. Because Meg has the Chieftain's Fury attack. When Meg is destroyed before being removed, performs a Chieftain Fury. So you suicide your Meg instead. And then you get a free attack, 7 dice on threes with rerolls. Defender does not get saves, vicious, and a panic token. I mean, that's going to do some serious damage to stuff. You're going to get through probably 6, maybe 7 hits. That's going to, unless they have a way to mitigate that, that's going to be 7 wounds. And then a panic token on the panic test. You, without anything else, I mean, you can reasonably believe you'll do 10 wounds if nothing else comes into play here. That'll be fun. And then we're going to kind of, so Wombo Combo, like I said, next card, last of their kind. When a friendly giant unit is destroyed, one other friendly giant unit performs one attack or charge action. Doesn't have to target whatever destroyed the giant. Doesn't have to do anything, but you enrage your Meg, suiciding them, doing 7 on threes, no saves, vicious, and a panic token. And then, last of their kind, because a friendly giant was destroyed, I have another giant that now gets to attack or charge. If it's attacking or charging that same unit, and we already talked about Meg probably doing, you know, 8, 9, maybe 10, up to 11 wounds, and then you have another giant come in on the same target.
Yeah.
I don't know what in the game's going to stand up to that.
I mean, it also is going to require you to have 3 tactics cards in your hand where you're setting up charges and killing the right things. And
this is just 2, right? This is just Enrage and Last of Their Kind, because it's Meg's ability.
Oh, right. True. Yeah.
Yeah. So this would just be 2 cards. But yeah. Now, and that might be the only circumstance in which you enrage and kill your own Meg, because it is on activation, so your own Meg could attack anyways. So the only way you would do it is really the only way you do that one. Now, the mammoth is, you know, you may do that just whatever, because for that one wound, because Last of Their Kind doesn't trigger on the mammoth, it only triggers on a giant. So that is probably the only way you would enrage Meg for the suicide, if you had Last of Their Kind in your hand too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. A giant or 1/1. 1/1 meets the criteria for this attacker charge also. All right. Next card here. Chieftain's Order, start of Mag the Mighty's activation. So if if you suicide your Mag the Mighty, you've just also killed the first half of your Chieftain's Orders. Mag may replace his action with one friendly giant unit in long range, performs one action. That's fun. If you don't have a Mag, or if you just wanted to for whatever reason, there is a second part of this card, which is essentially a separate card for all intents and purposes. Start of any turn, draw and attack this card. So that way this card doesn't end up dead in your hand.
Yeah.
If you don't have a Mag and you have this card, you're like, oh, this is trash. Well, it literally is. You can discard it, draw a new card. Not discard, play it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to confuse anyone there. Next card, Defiant Roar. When a friendly monster unit passes a morale test, target all enemies engaged with that unit, they become weakened. Giants have good morale. It's already difficult to kill them. You start weakening your opponent, it becomes substantially more difficult to kill them. Good stuff.
Just defensive card.
Monster unit, so this once again applies to your Shadow Cats, your Mammoths. But yep, good defensive card. Eighth card, Hurl Boulder. When a friendly giant unit performs an action, before resolving that action, that unit replaces that action with performing the following ranged attack. It is one dice, it is on a 3+, it is long range. If this attack generates any hits, instead of rolling defensive dice, the defender suffers D3 wounds plus one wound for each remaining rank. So you hit a full unit, it's D3 plus three wounds. And it's, once again, not on giant activation. It is on them performing an action. We've already talked about ways to get free actions, maneuver zone, or Lady Val. I think at this point we are for sure calling her 100% auto include in the Giants.
Yeah.
If anyone can think of a reason to not put Lady Val in Giants, please let me know. I'm here for it. I'll shout you out next episode and tell everyone you're better than me. It's not gonna happen. All right. Ninth card. We've talked about this one with the 1.4 changes in general. Here it is, Overrun. When a friendly combat unit surges forth, instead of surging forth, that unit performs one charge or march action. It's awesome. It's Overrun. It's potentially a free attack, or it's a march to a good place. Or in this scenario, it could be used to trigger Hurl Boulder. It could be used to trigger Trample. Because it does grant you a charge. So instead of charging, maybe you would like to trample. And it does grant you Shrug It Off, restoring the three wounds if you wanted to replace the Overrun action. But you wouldn't do that because you would just replace the maneuver. So that's a bad example. Along with Hurl Boulder. But not trample. You could use this to get trample off. I just talked in a big circle. Just good card. Ha-da-da. Final card here, Blitz. Start of a friendly monster unit's activation. Unit becomes vulnerable. Until the end of the turn, that unit gains plus two movement and may reroll any charge distance dice.
This card to me is weird, just because you don't care about vulnerable tokens ever.
Yeah, it's a slap on the wrist at worst.
I mean, it's basically to help mammoths or some other monster. I don't think chariots are monsters, but and then you're just getting more movement.
I do not believe chariots are monsters. Rerolling, so this would make a. All the giants have a movement of five. They have a movement of five. So it makes them movement seven, and you can reroll charge distance dice. Your opponent may have thought they were safe at a, like, oh, I stopped just outside of 13 or 11. Can't hit me. Well, now I can hit up to a 13 with my 7-inch movement now, and I get a reroll. So, like, yeah, you might try that. That's a nice try. So you have that. You have the movement you could use to, maybe you were going to march. So it's not plus two to whatever you move. It's plus two to your movement stat, which your 10-inch march normally now becomes a 14-inch march. So you kind of get to double dip on Blitz for this activation. A giant getting a 14-inch march could kind of spoil some plans. I know I said we weren't going to talk about NCUs, but we're going to talk about Ygritte. She can influence a friendly unit. It gains plus one movement. So now you could Ygritte these guys, and they could be looking at a 16-inch march this round. And then Ygritte will stay on them, so they will keep that movement, the plus one from her, which could help. They're getting a charge that, you know, the opponent did not think was necessary. They're ending up in that distance. Maybe you throw a couple of maneuver zones from your NCUs and Lady Val and all that good stuff. And you got a unit of giant, or you have a giant running all the hell over the place at the cost of one vulnerable token. Anything else on that there?
No, Mag's just very different. He has a lot of, I think, I wouldn't say any weird stuff, but it's just a lot of, like, you can have some combos going up. But I just don't know what, like, a Mag list looks like, really, because it's like him and 1-1 probably, and then some other stuff, and then just kind of gets to, like, this weird, almost, like, traditional 7 activation type of list, I think. I guess you always throw in Varamir in his gang, but I don't know how much he costs. But
I haven't really looked at the list builds with him yet, but I think he's cool. He's a cool flavor thing, for sure. Yeah. And it does kind of give you two different armies in one.
Mm-hmm, this guy. It actually gives you like a monster mash if that's something that you're down for, anyways.
Sure, it'd be easy to paint 6 models. Maybe, and you're done. Hey, if you want to see giants painted in a video, go check out our giant painting video on YouTube. Yep. It's awesome. Also, if you're just listening to this on the podcast and stuff, we do always ask you run over to YouTube, a like, a comment, for sure, a subscribe. Being a small channel, those things are huge for us, just kind of getting our stuff out there. Our channel's not big enough to collect any ad revenue or anything, so we're not even doing it for that. We just go get eyeballs on it. It's fun to interact with people. But until next time, thanks everyone for hanging out. Let us know what you think. We'll have part 2 to the Free Folk breakdown coming very soon, probably next week. And I guess we'll see you guys later.
Yep. Thanks for joining us.
Bye. Say bye again.
Bye.
Bye.